Hey everyone, it's Addie, Allie, Emily, and Caitlin, and today we're going to be addressing the pro-life or pro-choice topics with the point of view of our iconic theorists.
Eleanor Laycock was a mother while also being a pioneer feminist, anthropologist, sociologist, and activist. She advocated for gender equality, anti-racism, indigenous people, and environmental issues. Laycock was most significantly known for her challenging myths on universal male dominance. She was also extremely open about supporting left-leaning politics and her stance on feminism. Laycock grew her feminism beliefs thanks to her parents constantly encouraging her to get an education and then encouraging her with her work. This developed her I'll show you mindset while she continued through her educational journey. She let no one tell her what to do or stand in her way thanks to this support.
Patricia Hill Collins is an influential American sociologist who talks most about race, gender, class, and intersectionality. She has contributed to a lot of feminist thought and is especially known for Black feminist theory. Her most famous book, Black Feminist Thought, Knowledge, Conscious, and the Political of Empowerment, established her as a key voice in exploring how intersecting systems of oppression shape experiences of African-American women.
Immanuel Kant, a hugely influential theorist and philosopher, has changed the way we view society, morality, and structure. His theories and philosophy still have a huge impact on society today. He demonstrates these in-depth explanations through many of his works, some including Critique of Pure Reason, Critique of Practical Reason, The Metaphysics of Ethics, Critique of Judgment, and The Metaphysical Foundations of Natural Science.
Harriet Martineau was accredited as being a female sociologist in the 19th century who often critiqued the things in society that she felt were important to point out. Besides being a sociologist, she was a writer and an activist for justice regarding women's rights, abolition, and economic inequalities. Her famous works include Illustrations of Political Economy, Society in America, and her autobiography. To better understand what Martineau's stance would be on abortion rights, it is important to understand her beliefs. She was a firm believer that everyone should have the ability to make their own choices without restrictions placed on them. She also believed that society needed to progress and change to allow every member of society to be a full participant. These themes are present in a lot of her works, but especially in Society of America, where she had criticized the United States for failing to be able to live up to the democratic principles because they were denying equality for women and enslaved people in society. Martineau believed that everyone in society should have the right to have control over all aspects of life. For Martineau, denying women the same opportunities for education, independence, and self-determination as men was a fundamental failure of justice. This would apply to her view on abortion because abortion is a question of self-determination, the ability to make decisions about one's own body and future. By denying women access to abortion, society undermines the very autonomy that Martineau saw as essential for equality and progress. In Martineau's autobiography, she opened up and discussed her life choices based on various topics such as her health struggles, which included her deafness and her chronic illness, and how she had gone against the societal norms and expectations of women. One decision she made that she talked about was choosing to remain unmarried because she wanted to value her independence and not be confined to the traditional domestic roles. She had expressed later that her making this decision granted her the ability to write, think, and live freely. Her works highlight her understanding of how societal norms often limit women's choices, forcing them into roles dictated by tradition rather than their desires. When we apply this to abortion rights, it becomes clear that Martineau valued women's autonomy and the right to shape their own lives. She would have supported reproductive freedom as an extension of the independence she worked so hard to protect.
Relating to that point, Kant also focuses a lot about morality driving behaviors and its reasons. He was against the idea of one making decisions purely for the benefit of themselves. When making morally right decisions, you have to think about how it impacts those around you, not just yourself.
Making a choice to protect yourself should be just since pregnancy is also so life-threatening and scary. Laycock would know she had 4 children. The World Health Organization shares this scary fact: a woman dies every 2 minutes due to pregnancy or childbirth. Reading this, my jaw dropped. All these scary facts are hidden behind the fact that pro-life group believes a human life starts at conception and they turn into a religious issue. And why should a woman have to give up their life for a child they didn't even want?
Though we are not certain what Martineau would say regarding the topic of abortion rights, we can use her writings on advocacy to gauge where she would lie on this topic based on her works on liberty, justice, and progress. She would have mentioned concerning topics how important it is to keep women's rights in mind because there are also human rights, and the ability to progress and strengthen society lies heavily in the ability of all individuals in society to be able to make their own decisions and have right over their autonomy.
We will be exploring the issues of abortion through the lens of Patricia Hill Collins' framework. She particularly has concepts of intersectionality, the matrix of domination, and Black feminist thought, and how it relates to the topics of abortion. Collins' ideas provide powerful insight in understanding how certain power dynamics shape the way we view reproductive rights. First, I'll be talking about intersectionality, which is a concept that examines how overlapping social identities like race, gender, class, and sexuality intersect to create unique experiences of oppression and sometimes privilege. When it comes to abortion, intersectionality helps us see that not all people experience the debate of reproductive rights in the same way. For starters, while abortion restrictions affect women broadly, low-income women and women of color often face greater barriers due to systematic inequalities. This includes lack of access to affordable health care, racial discrimination in medical settings, and geographical challenges such as living in areas with fewer clinics available. These intersecting forms of oppression highlight how abortion is not just a woman's issue, but a deeply racialized and class-based issue as well.
These clinics provide information, comprehensive sex education, and resources that enable women to make informed choices. Arguing that empowerment comes through access to information and support systems, Laycock would love programs like Planned Parenthood, which inform women of all their options and consequences. Planned Parenthood provides privacy, education, and support, which Laycock would advocate for, with the emphasis on education and woman power. Places like Planned Parenthood give the people all the resources and support without being biased, so women can find what choice is best for themselves, which are really open and straightforward with people and both sides of opinions. This reminds me of myths of male dominance, how Laycock sees the other side of the story, seeing how societies without the patriarchal influence, seeing both sides to draw a conclusion.
When we look at abortion through this lens, it becomes clear that control and reproductive autonomy have historically been a tool of domination. For example, Black women in the United States have endured forced sterilization and inadequate access to reproductive health care, reflecting broader societal attempts to control their bodies and their lives. Today, abortion restrictions disproportionately impact these same communities, perpetuating a cycle of systematic control. Another key idea from Collins' Black feminist thought, which centers the knowledge and experience of Black women as a critical source of insight into systems of oppression. Black feminist activists like Loretta Ross have built on this tradition to advance the concept of reproductive justice, which goes beyond the pro-choice framework. Reproductive justice emphasize not only the right to have or not have children, but also the right to parent in safe and healthy environments. This perspective expands the conversation about abortion to include the broader conditions necessary for reproductive freedom, such as access to health care, housing, and education. It reflects the holistic intersectional approach Collins advocates for when understanding power and the resistance to it.
Relating to this point, Kant talks about bodily autonomy, which is the idea that individuals should have the right to choose what they do with their bodies. Kant's ideas of bodily autonomy surrounds the idea that an individual should have the freedom and right to do what they want with their body, but there needs to be some agency, reasoning, and morality associated with it. He uses the idea of categorical imperative to explain this. This is the idea that every human has their own worth within this world, and we cannot treat others less than that for our own benefit. According to these ideas, there could be two possible takes from this in relation to the topic of abortion. Kant would support the idea that a woman should make decisions that are right for her body and not allow laws or society to prevent her from getting an abortion. However, he also explains the idea of human dignity, where every human being deserves an equal chance in life. Someone who is pro-life may take this idea through Kant's perspective and say he doesn't support abortions because that is taking away the choice and life of an unborn human who has no say in what happens.
Collins' main points, she talks about Black woman and intersectionality and feminism, which this connects to women's rights and how people view that. One of women's rights is the right to choose if they can have an abortion or they want to keep the baby and having access to that. With where she stands in women's rights, I can tell that she would be pro-choice. She believes in gender equality and having the rights to choose what you would do with your own body. Even her being a modern woman, she sees how the world is now with abortion, how people in power control women's bodies, especially in the government.
A point that could be related to this, that can be connected to Immanuel Kant, is his idea of Kant's theory of human dignity. This is the idea that every human being has worth and isn't defined by success and money, but rather just living. He says every human has potential for rational thought. Now, when being applied to the idea of abortion, this could be taken two different ways. Since an unborn fetus is not able to make rational decisions, some may say this doesn't apply to abortion. However, he also emphasizes the idea of potential for rational thought. Although the fetus may not yet be able to have rational thoughts, they can in the future, which would apply to the idea against abortions. Some may say that unborn babies still have the potential and capacity to think rationally, so their existence shouldn't be taken away from them. However, others believe through the Kantian perspective that the woman's needs and wants should be prioritized over the unborn child who doesn't yet have the capacity to make these decisions.
Collins' intersectional framework prioritizes particularly Black women. This focus might lead her to emphasize the struggles and needs of African Americans, working class, and other marginalized women in discussion of abortion. She might critique the abortion debate from the perspective of how policies disproportionately affect women of color, low-income women, and those in rural or underserved communities. Some critics might argue that this could lead to a biased view because she herself is a Black woman. And since she has a personal connection to the things she talks about, she might have a bias about what she views as what's ethical in abortions. Collins aligns more closely with the reproductive justice framework, which incorporates not only the right to abortion, but also bigger concerns of social and economic justices, including access to healthcare, housing, and education. Collins is known for critiquing systems of oppression, such as patriarchy, racism, and capitalism. She may view abortion not just as a personal right, but as part of a broader struggle against these systems.
Martineau was also very interested in the ideas surrounding political economy, especially the oppression that comes from it. She was very observant and focused on systematic inequalities, especially those that targeted women and how they affect societal well-being. She was very adamant that for women to have freedom, they also needed economic independence. In her Illustrations of Political Economy, which was a book of fictionalized tales, she used a storyline to explain the economic principles, which are often complex. Many of these tales in this book highlight struggles of the working class woman and the impact that this has on their lives. Her book, A Manchester Strike, focused heavily on hardships that families face during labor disputes. She recognized that these challenges affected women and children greatly, especially in regards to their decision-making by limiting the decisions they could make. In her book, she highlights the struggle that comes with this, such as illness, exploitation, and even hunger. We can apply this insight of Martineau to abortion rights and infer that she would be deeply concerned about the economic consequences of a forced pregnancy. Martineau would have likely argued that denying reproductive choices such as abortion can cause poverty and even limit a woman's ability to fully contribute to society. If we take her narrative and apply it to abortion rights, we can see just like working class women, women who are forced to have a forced pregnancy are trapped in economic dependency and poverty. By having this forced pregnancy, women are now having to deal with the challenges of having to provide for children they might not be able to afford, which represents the inequalities of society that are placed on women that Martineau was fighting to end.
With these laws about abortion, Laycock would argue that control over one's reproductive choice is central to personal autonomy and greater equality. Denying access to abortion reinforces patriarchal control over women's body and lives. Laycock deeply looks into patriarchal societies and how they are formed from capitalization and colonization, which she's based off of Marx's works. Patriarchal societies have historically used control over women's reproductive abilities to reinforce traditional gender roles, where women stay in the home with the children and then men go to work. Denying access to abortion continues the idea that women's primary purpose is to have children and stay at home, not addressing their intelligence and ability to participate in society. Laycock has a whole book about women's work development and the diversity of labor by gender, which shows women's contributions in both domestic and public spheres and how they were extremely belittled. Women's work rarely gets recognized, even when they tend to work twice as hard. Twice as hard meaning they have to work twice as hard just to be heard, or twice as hard since they are mother, which is a job in itself, as well as doing their job outside of the house.
Applying Patricia Hill Collins' ideas to the topic of abortion allows us to see the issues in its full complexity. It reminds us that reproductive rights are deeply intertwined with broader systems of oppression and that any solution must account for the intersecting realities faced by marginalized communities. A lot of the things she talks about relates to power imbalances. She talks about how men will do anything to have control over women, which is a big problem now. People are bringing abortions to government issues, and it shouldn't even be a talking point. Collins believes that men have opinions on it, so they can have another reason to control the woman's body. By embracing the principles of intersectionality, challenging the matrix of domination, and centering Black feminist thought, we can work towards a vision of reproductive justice that truly empowers all individuals.
While Immanuel Kant never directly addressed the topic of abortion, his theories and ideas can give insight on how he and others with the Kantian perspective would view abortion. In his book, Critique of Pure Reason, Kant focuses on the fundamentals of knowledge and views it as a relationship between the mind and external factors rather than one's opinion on the world and society. Each individual will perceive society differently based on their own experiences and understandings. In the Critique of Practical Reason, Kant focuses more on why people act and behave the way they do. Practical reason is the underlying force that makes people act a certain way. Although he addresses it, he makes it a point that we still need to reflect morality through our decisions. We need to act in a way that is morally right to the society we live in and make sure we aren't acting out of emotion or purely for ourselves. The metaphysics of ethics expands upon the idea of ethics and moral action driving behaviors. In this piece, Kant talks about the concept of goodwill, which emphasizes intention behind the action instead of the outcome. So, if someone does something with an intention to hurt others in order to benefit themselves, Kant would view this as a violation of moral action and goodwill. In the Critique of Judgment, Kant focuses on how we judge others. He explains this using two types of judgment, aesthetic and teleological. Aesthetic judgments surround the idea of beauty, while teleological focuses on purpose within society. He explains that the meaning of both is different for each person because each individual has their own definition of beauty and purpose. In the Metaphysical Foundations of Natural Science, Kant talks the most about physical science and how it exists. He explains that the ideas of nature didn't just come through observation, but through causality and substance. He emphasizes the importance and use of our minds and cognitive abilities to understand and learn about science. While Kant's works each address somewhat differing topics, they all come back to the idea that humans are affected through both external factors of society and personal cognitive abilities. Kant always goes back to the idea that humans are the creators of knowledge and our minds pick the world around us in ways that help us learn more about our society. Now I'm going to talk about the relationship between ethics, morals, and other important concepts relating to the idea of abortions through the ideas of Immanuel Kant's philosophies. While the Kantian perspective can support both sides of the argument to abortion, it can be argued that he would be more in favor for abortions to be in place than banned. This is because of his ideas of autonomy, agency, human dignity, and more. He would show support to both the fetus and the pregnant woman, but would ultimately be in support of the woman's decision to do what she wants with her body.
Martin Noe would often talk about rational thought and moral thought. She would often highlight how an individual's morality revolves around having freedom and the ability to make their own decisions based on reason and compassion. She often in her writings would argue against religious arguments that try to have a say or control standards or behaviors of women. She argued that instead there should be more thoughtful approaches. Based on this, she would have rejected arguments that reduce women to just their reproductive roles in society or place their needs second to the societal expectations. For her, morality also included fostering the well-being of individuals and society as a whole.
Collins would agree with what Martineau would say, but even though Kant would prefer the woman to do what they want with their bodies, Kant here feels that he could have an opinion on abortion rights. As Collins explains, she talks about the concept of the matrix of domination, where multiple interconnected systems of power, such as patriarchy, white supremacy, and capitalism, shape the experiences of marginalized groups. Collins sees that these ideas are controlling in how these ideas want to control women's bodies. Men have always wanted to be superior to women, and abortion's right is the one way they can be controlling even more.
Laycock would argue that control over one's reproductive choices is personal autonomy control and gender equality control. Denying access to abortion reinforces patriarchal control over a woman's body and lives. Restricting abortion rights forces women into economic and sociological dependency. Women who would be forced to have these children and not able to afford them might be forced to stay in relationships they are not safe in, but they are forced to stay due to being able to afford the children. This reinforces their reliance on male-dominated structures like male-run households or economic systems controlled by men. Laycock would have a lot of passion for this notion due to her being a divorcee with children with the husband, understanding how hard it is to leave. She had a lot of support from her family at this time, which she is extremely grateful for, but many people are not as lucky. Being forced to have unwanted pregnancies also limit women's access to education, economic independence, and political power, which will make it even harder for women in a society that is already so against women. And Laycock emphasized how important education is and women education should never be taken away.
This point can be related to a Kantian perspective on abortion laws and state bans. Through the Kantian lens, taking away freedom and autonomy for a woman to get an abortion wouldn't be moral and ethical. Taking away a woman's power and control over her own body is violating moral laws that society was built around.
Laycock would end the glorification of motherhood, showing how difficult it is and having to put your life on hold to raise a child, which is a commitment for the rest of your life. Her feminist inside would support women making their own choices no matter what they choose, since women are the ones who should be making the choices for themselves, not the government. She would make sure the women have the proper education.
In Kant's Moral Theory, he addresses an important concept of the kingdom of ends. This refers to the idea that everyone should treat each other as the ends instead of the means to get to the ends. Richard Dean, a philosopher who studies Immanuel Kant's ethics and theories, went into depth about this idea. He highlights the concept of mutual respect in the kingdom of ends and human dignity. In terms of abortion, this idea of mutual respect can be applied to give the fetus and the pregnant woman respect. While Kant believes in this idea, he thinks the conscious person with a capacity of rational thinking should have more power, which in the case of abortion would be the woman.
Laycock had such a passion for women empowerment that she would have been so supportive for the women who choose to put their families on hold and wait until the right time. She was described as constantly working, even with a baby on her hip.
She acknowledged that it was not easy and applauded the women who recognized the need to educate themselves and put themselves first. She would support a woman no matter what they decide, but the fact that they get to decide for themselves is the most important part. She would be upset with all who went into helping overturn Roe v. Wade, since it is not just a woman's issue, but it's a human right issue. Taking away healthcare is a failure for our healthcare system. Although Laycock is not alive today, so I cannot say exactly how she would address the pro-life, pro-choice topic, I believe she would be extremely hands-on and passionate that women should have the right to choose.
All of our theorists overall are on the pro-choice way of thinking. They all believe that women should have the right to choose. While Kant may disagree sometimes with this overall, they all would have a civil conversation about abortion rights. We could see many similarities and differences between these influential theorists and how their potential views on abortion according to their theorists and philosophies. However, the most recurring idea from these theorists is that abortion is ethical and moral. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next week for our next podcast.